Hey everyone, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's after show of Insatiable. It was a wild season, a lot to get through tonight. We're going to be talking about all of our favorite characters, some of the crazy controversies, and all of the incredible satirical themes of this season. A lot to look forward to and some crazy segments we've got lined up for you later in the show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Insatiable After Show right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is going on, everyone? It is AfterBuzz TV's Insatiable here at AfterBuzz TV in Los Angeles. A wild first season of Insatiable, to say the least. We've got a lot to cover today. Again, we're talking about some of our favorite characters, the crazy twists and turns that this very soap-like show took throughout this first season, and we've got some special segments, Bob quotes, and some weird pageants that we will have later on in the episode, so stick around for it. Guys, I'm introducing the lovely Maggie Clark. It is her first after show here at AfterBuzz TV. Give it up for her.
Oh, thank you so much, Kevin. Hi, guys. I'm Maggie Clark. I'm so excited. My first time ever working with AfterBuzz TV. And we hope you enjoy our show today on the amazing show, Insatiable.
Oh, God. It was a good one. And it was crazy. But it got a lot of crazy press. We're going to get into that a little bit later. I want to talk about some of these amazing characters because they were rich. They were rich characters. Something that I haven't seen on TV in a long time. And our protagonist, Patty, was particularly interesting. When you saw Patty at the beginning of the show compared to her transition towards the end, what did you make of that transition in her character arc?
Wow. Well, Patty had quite a journey throughout the season, as we saw. And when we first saw Patty, she was really hating herself. She had very low self-esteem. She didn't really know who she was. She only had one friend, Nani. She was overeating. That was her only comfort. And she really was a sad character. And then throughout this journey, we saw her kind of start over when she lost all that weight, when she began pageants, when she met Bob. She really developed this new personality because she realized she had a clean slate. So it was interesting to see her journey. But then, as we saw at the end of season one, she took a dark turn. And I know we'll talk about that more later. But what did you think about Patty?
I think it was interesting to see her character, yes, develop a little bit of confidence when she lost her weight. And I know that there's a lot of controversy, or at least seemingly controversy, around her fat shaming around this show. But when she lost her weight, she developed this confidence that was very different than something that she had experienced before. She had more friends. She got a boyfriend. But what was so interesting is that she still struggled immensely. There were still these challenges. The weight loss, she admitted in the very last episode, and even episode 11, that the weight loss didn't do anything to change who, you know, didn't improve her life. It almost, in some respects, like, made it worse that she lost this weight, because it totally changed the path that she was on before and the comfortability that she was experiencing. Did you feel that?
Yes, definitely. And especially, we heard that quote that she said, skinny is magic. Mm. And she thought that just because she was skinny, her life was going to take this incredible turn and she was going to win all these pageants and she was going to have all this life success just because she was skinny. But that was a really interesting message that unfolded throughout the show that showed us, no, skinny is not magic. Mm-hmm. It depends on who you are inside and exactly who you love inside. So yeah, I know we'll talk more about that as the show progresses too.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. The big question is, and which was introduced in the last episode as she was dealing with Christian, is Patty a good person? After everything that you saw, after all of the transformation that she had endured throughout the season, could you wrap around your head around the fact that she was a good person in the end?
Oh my gosh. So I struggled with my feelings about Patty because as an audience member, I started out really loving her character. I, you know, thought that she had all this promise, all this potential. I was on that journey with her. And then as it unfolded and she had more and more terrible things that she was doing, it kind of built up. And then at the end, when she has this confession that she murdered potentially not one, but two people, how can we still think she's a good person? So that on top of also doing these other things like breaking up Bob's marriage, outing him and his sexual orientation,
Oh, punching a girl off of a bus.
And even dropping her off of her wheelchair when she was at the time supposedly paralyzed, which we found out later she wasn't. But yeah, all of these things started to add up for me. And I was starting to feel like, wait a minute, Patty is not a good person.
And I will defend her a little bit in saying that she was forced into these situations that weren't entirely her fault. You saw an individual in Bob, who Bob Armstrong being one of our favorite characters, and I love him to death, but he did put her in an awkward situation later on where after episodes and episodes, he had been preaching the idea of her coming out of her shell and loving herself and being her true self is truly what he had reiterated time and time again. And then when she finally saw the hypocrisy of him not being true to himself and keeping it hidden that he was having a, you know, sexual affair with Bob Barnard, in her mind, it was a betrayal. And so I sympathize with the fact, though I don't agree with the fact that she outed him. You know, I can see why there was frustration. The fact, obviously, when Dixie was, you know, trying to do what she was doing and trying to sabotage all of the social standing that she had built up throughout this season. Like, I understand why she did what she had to do with throwing her out of the wheelchair and then later defending herself by punching her off of the weenie mobile. It was just, you know, there were a lot of situations that Patty was put in that I sympathize with her character and the decisions that she made.
I do see your perspective on that, definitely. I feel like the roast itself was a bad decision that never should have happened. Bob never should have put her in that situation where all of her dirty secrets and all this negativity was going to come out and she was just going to be made fun of and beat down time after time again. So, of course, those feelings were rising inside of her that she kind of wanted to get revenge on all of these people that were saying these horrible things. And, Dixie did attack her on top of the weenie mobile. So I do understand all of those things, how we can kind of somewhat forgive her for those actions. But the murder is unforgivable.
The murder is, in some respects, unforgivable. Yeah. But you have another culprit in this, and that is Bob Armstrong. And we'll get to the murder a little bit later. But Bob, he made the show. Undoubtedly. I loved every moment of Dallas Roberts being on screen. Every little quirk he had, every little just moment where he just stole the camera. What did you think of Bob and his character throughout this entire series?
Oh, I loved Bob. I thought he was just so great. I felt like, same as you, Kevin, every moment he was in front of the camera was comedy gold. Mm. It was just, you know, he had these quick lines and just these little quips and just very clever things to say always. And his facial expressions and his just personality was delightful. He was really fun to watch always. So he was a delight.
He had so many good one-liners.
Yep.
One of my favorites was when it was in the second to last episode. It was when Roxy was trying to she wasn't really breaking in. She was fiddling with the recycling bin outside and they had just come back from the gay club and he kind of mumbled to Bob Barnard when Bob was going to go approach Roxy, though they didn't know it was Roxy. He's like, what if one of those big beefy bear men followed us home to try and force us to double tame him? It's like, epic. The writing in the show was phenomenal. And it
was smart.
I was laugh out loud. I haven't felt that in a long time. Like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's laugh out loud funny for me. Insatiable was one of those shows.
I agree with you. It was just a lot of fun.
It was just a blast. What did you make about the relationship between Bob Armstrong and then Bob Barnard? Because it took a wild twist.
It really did. I had no idea that was coming. I never saw that in a million years until it was right in front of our faces. Bob and Bob, they just had this relationship where they hated each other through the whole first half of the season. They were, you know, enemies in the courtroom, enemies in high school, enemies in the pageant world. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we find out that they're both actually in love with one another. It's just, it was a really crazy twist. Never saw it coming. But it was kind of fun to see the two of them living their truth. Mm-hmm. However, I was not a fan of the fact that both of them were cheating on their wives living this lie for so long. But what did you think?
I thought it was an incredible buildup. Something that, as you reiterated, it was something I did not fully expect. I questioned Bob Armstrong's sexuality throughout. I think that his flamboyancy and some of his interests were could tease that being a reality. Like, I saw that it could be possible, but I did not necessarily pick up on Bob Barnhart. And when I think back on it, you think of all the times he was shirtless in front of Bob Armstrong. Yes. And then you had Bob Armstrong with the shake weight all the time, just mm-hmm. always. There were so many sexual jokes throughout this entire series. It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't even handle it sometimes.
I agree.
but for you, what did you make of the thruple at the end?
The thruple. Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? I was rooting for the thruple. I wanted it to be a thing because at first I was really confused in my feelings, like, oh no, you know, I want him to be back with Coralie. I want them to just have this really happy relationship forever and ever. They're best friends. They've been together over 20 years. They have two children. But then once the thruple was kind of happening, that hotel room scene, I thought, you know what, maybe this could work. There's a lot of, you know, sexual magnetism between the three of them, and it would solve all of Bob's problems. But then we found out, of course, that Barnhart was not into it. He wanted Bob all to himself. I think Coralie would have been fine with it moving forward, but Barnhart kind of blew the whole thing up.
It was amazing to see this. It's interesting to say that anybody is being selfish in this situation because you are talking about the emotions of a certain individual. You know, you don't know whether or not the other person's going to be cool with inviting another person emotionally into the foray. And it was a very interesting episode. I also struggled. I didn't know what to make of it.
Right.
And I didn't know who to root for, though. Throughout, Coralie was one of those characters that I just couldn't love, especially because at the beginning of the season, she was one of those people who was at least a social climber, at least that's how they viewed her. And I think that the portrayal of Patty after the pageant that they had won together was something that stuck with me. Yeah. I didn't really think highly of her character after that because, again, the social climber aspect was the driving force behind all of her motivations with Patty. So that really was a turnoff. So in the end, I was rooting for Bob Barnhart, and we're left hanging. I mean, we don't know if a season two happens, where that would lead, where they left it off.
Right, exactly.
So going in, what if we have a season two? I don't want to tease too much, but if we have a thruple possibility, who are you going to root for to be the final
Armstrong
duo?
It's got to be Coralie for me.
Okay.
It really has to, just because they have such a history and it's so sweet. I think, you know, she mentioned we've been together over 20 years and we've only spent a few nights away from one another. And there were moments where she just looked at him and said, I just miss my husband. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like they really do have a deep bond.
Right.
And I'm rooting for them. And I definitely see your thoughts about her being a social climber. But she's still a woman in a marriage and she loves her husband. Sure. And I don't really think that Barnhart, you know, should break them up. I think maybe he's just a fling. Maybe he's just Bob exploring a part of himself that he hasn't gotten a chance to explore yet. And hopefully he'll go back to Coralie.
Okay. Well, we go from one love triangle to another with Brick and Christian, which was a fascinating little love triangle. It felt like Team Edward versus Team Jacob.
Yes.
That's really what it felt like, did it not?
Twilight.
Well, even the long hair of Christian, I actually felt like they were almost trying to mimic Jacob, and it seemed intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But who were you rooting for, at least at the beginning?
Well, I do love a bad boy, so at the beginning I was rooting for Christian, but then as his story unfolded, I definitely was against him, obviously, because we found out he's a stalker and a kidnapper and he's dangerous and he is leading Patty down this scary path of her, you know, embracing her demon and that whole thing was crazy. But, you know, I did like him at first. He was mysterious and sexy and fun. And, you know, she hadn't experienced that before. But now I just really love that Brick is almost like her hero. And the scene where they're jogging together and all of a sudden Christian shows up and he's in his car and Patty tells Brick that Christian's been stalking her, and then Brick pulls him out of the car and throws him up against the car, and he says, stay away from Patty. And it's almost like, oh my gosh, he's her hero, her knight in shining armor. So that was fun for me to see.
I agree. Yeah. I was rooting for Brick throughout that. He felt like one of those people who, you know, he made fun of her in that first episode, and so you didn't really know, okay, where do we stand with Brick Armstrong? But then when you hear all of the struggles that he had growing up, he didn't really have a father, which is really weird to think of, Bob Armstrong not being around his son, but he really couldn't relate to Brick. You know, he had totally different interests, and possibly, you know, his closeted homosexuality was a driving force behind not having a lot of things to you know, find common ground with his son, which is, you know, so sad because he is such a loving man.
Right, definitely. I think that he was just so wrapped up in the pageant world. That was his extracurricular interest. And Brick was into, you know, sports and more masculine things. And they just didn't have anything in common. And I just found that dynamic to be so interesting because Brick had the same relationship with Bob, his father, that Bob had with his own father. So, you know, Bob's own father was ignoring him and he wasn't really there for him growing up. So all of a sudden, Bob realized that he had become his father, and he regretted that he didn't develop his relationship with Brick more.
Very true. And as we segue into controversies, AfterBuzzers, I want to talk about our network and how it produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. For dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and your help. You help AfterBuzz TV grow in that way. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know. You did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. And for now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. We really do appreciate it, guys. So segue into all of the controversy that was behind the show, because it was rampant, and it was fascinating because I did not see it when I was watching. Like, I could see how some of the topics were very controversial because we did have a lot of tough subjects that this television show tackled, but I think that they did it in a really fresh way that we don't see on TV. And it was interesting to hear some of the tweets, because we saw a lot of positive tweets as I followed through Twitter and the hashtag Insatiable. I did not find a lot of negativity, but let's go to one of the tweets that we saw. Nikki had tweeted on August 14th, Insatiable is actually a really great show. It's literally mocking society, not fat people. I'm happy if it gets a season two. It's satire. It's dark comedy. It isn't meant to be offensive. It's just a twisted kind of humor, which I love. And I couldn't agree more. I think Nikki really kind of hit it on the head with, you know, it is dark comedy. They had some really, you know, putrid jokes and like a lot of sexual, you know, topics, but I think they hit it in a really fun way. What are your thoughts?
I agree, definitely. I think that there were a lot of things that, they kind of dipped their toe in the water of, this could potentially be crossing the line and this could offend some people. But overall, I think that there were some shocking topics, a lot of things that were brought up in the show that, definitely made my head spin a little bit. But honestly, I think the overall backlash on the show only came after the first trailer was released. And that first trailer caused a lot of people to worry about the show containing too much controversy surrounding fat shaming. Mm-hmm. And as the show progressed, we realized that that wasn't really what the show was about. That was just part of Patty's story. That was her introductory piece of her character, but it really wasn't the driving force on the show. And we have some, I mean, it was really interesting how much the backlash was really present before the show came out, because I don't know if you guys know or not, but there was a petition on change.org and over 200,000 people signed this petition to have Netflix cancel the show. And they were unsuccessful, as we know, and the show did come out, but that's a lot of signatures.
That's wild.
Yeah, I was surprised. And then then, you know, Debbie Ryan herself came out and said that the show is about finding yourself. And at the premiere, Alyssa Milano, she had a lot to say on the carpet. And she actually told Vanity Fair something that I thought was interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and read her quote. She said, "The show is really a satirical look at what could happen if you do body shame or bully someone and how that trauma affects their life. It's also about how looks can be deceiving, an exploration of body image, about finding validation and the desire to fill a void within ourselves." So she's really saying a lot there. And she goes on to talk about how the show has a lot of societal issues and they're talking about them instead of sweeping them under the carpet. So we're having these conversations, which is a really positive thing.
Exactly. As you're saying, like, this brought up so many different topics that just aren't talked about often. They talked about sexual assault in a way that was, you know, it crossed some lines at certain points, but, you know, nonetheless, they had the conversation. And like you talked about with fat shaming, you know, there's some people, I will cite Jess. She tweeted, "Say whatever you want about Insatiable, but to me, it is the most relatable thing I've seen on TV. As someone who's been unconfident in her skin for all her life, I feel Patty's need for validation, and I still do. No matter how much weight I lost or glowed up, I see myself." So for some people, this was inspirational. It was actually a conversation about, you know what? I haven't been confident in my body, but you know what? That did not always solve all of my issues when I lost the weight. And that's really what the show was about.
Right.
It was about a person who, despite all of the external beauty that she thought she never had, it was the inside that she needed to work on the entire time in order to better herself.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And we have a quote from the show.
Yeah. I mean, This was very interesting. Lauren Gussa, she is the showrunner of Insatiable and the creator, and she had a very nice tweet that she had sent out to the fans. She mentioned, "When I was 13, I was suicidal. My best friends dumped me, I was bullied, and I wanted revenge. I thought if I looked pretty on the outside, I'd feel like I was enough. Instead, I developed an eating disorder, and the kind of rage that makes you want to do dark things. I'm still not comfortable in my skin, but I'm trying to share my insides, to share my pain and vulnerability through humor. That's just my way. The show is a cautionary tale about how damaging it can be to believe the outsides are more important, to judge without going deeper. Please give the show a chance." And I think that's a great message because it really shows, and a lot of people had been slamming the show and the writers for bringing up such harsh topics, but you know, you see it from this person's perspective. She lived this, and I would say that she has the right to talk about these things. And I think for anybody that thinks that Netflix should have dropped the show or these topics shouldn't have been addressed, really needs to think about the individuals who are trying to tell the story and what they might have experienced through their lives to get to this point where this show was created. So
that's right, Kevin, and I agree with you. And I just feel like if you look at all of the characters on the show, every single character has their own issues, their own insecurities. So it really isn't about just Patty's journey. It's about the journey of all the characters and how it's really about learning to love yourself and, you know, being nice to others.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we got that with Nani and Dee, two right? individuals who ended up coming out as a lesbian, or at least Nani came out. Mm-hmm. Dee was already, you know, at the point where she was out and was helping Nani through the process of, you know, coming to terms with the fact that she, you know, needed to be herself. And mm-hmm. it was cool to see Nani's transformation because she was always overshadowed by Patty throughout the entire beginning of the season. But she finally came into her own when she started, you know, listening to herself.
She finally found her voice.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then Dee had a really good quote during the show. And we have it here for you, too. And it's when they're sitting in church. And Patty and Dee are talking for the first time, and she says, "What do you mean now that you're skinny?" And Patty says, "I lost 70 pounds, so now it's my turn to get the guy." And then Dee says, "Being skinny doesn't mean shit if you're ugly on the inside."
Just to reiterate that point earlier.
That's right.
The show really tried to hit that point on the head. And I think
they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we also had a clip I know that you wanted to share prior to us getting into the themes of this show.
So this is going to be Debbie's thoughts on the show, what Debbie thought about her performance and the subject matter.
Came about as was a script that made me feel seen and heard and made me laugh, but also felt very much congruent with the stories I wanted to be making.
I feel so
free.
No, I was gonna say totally self-conscious.
Thank God, me too.
There's such a conviction within the DNA of it, I found to be irresistible. And the beauty of the show is that it's about finding yourself, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek, doesn't take itself too seriously.
This is like every great high school movie ever made.
Insatiable could be anything, and I think in every single episode it looks different, and you'll find it in a different place.
And I think that couldn't be, you know, that couldn't be truer, is that this is one of those shows that you found all of these topics just in Insatiable. And I think that that's what was cool about this. The theme of self-love, I think, is the main theme throughout this entire show. Who, in your mind, do you think exhibited the self-love that they needed to, or at least were trying to achieve, by the end of the show? Is there one character that stood out to you as somebody who actually achieved full self-love?
Well, I feel like all the characters are on their journey towards self-love. I feel like there isn't just one character that I can think of that has achieved full self-love, except maybe Barnard. Barnard seems to love himself quite a lot. He seems very confident in his life decisions. He's proud that he's a gay man. He's proud that he has a family. He's proud of the career that he's built. So I would say he's achieved self-love. But I also think Nani is really on the right path to self-love. I mean, she, throughout the season, we saw her realize that, yes, she was gay and that she is in love with her best friend, but she doesn't have to be, and she's now dating someone else, and she's just more confident and sure of herself. So I'm happy to see her finding her true self.
I agree. I think a lot of these characters were searching for validation in other places other than themselves. You look at Stella Rose. She was trying to find love in Bob Armstrong. You know, you had Coralie, who is, again, trying to find love in either her, you know, social status or Bob. Christian was trying to find love from Patty. Brick was trying to find the love of a father figure and, you know, ended up segueing into, you know, Patty being that person. So other people were searching for their own, you know, means of getting towards happiness. But really, I feel the only character that started with true self-love was Dee. I think Dee came into the foray, and she was the one that just immediately was preaching this idea of, you know, be yourself. What are you waiting around for?
That's right.
So I feel like that was an interesting character. When you were watching this show, what did you feel, how do you feel they addressed sexual orientation and just the journey that it does take to come to terms? Like, they had introduced, even in that clip, we had a trans woman actually introduced onto the show. And so that was brought up as well. And we also, obviously, we had the Bobs, the two Bobs that were on their own journey. But overall, do you think that the show did justice to that journey?
I think it did. I think one of my favorite episodes was the episode where they had the doggy wash and that representatives from the LGBTQ community came in and saved the day. And it was really great to see that scene with Debbie and the trans woman together in the bathroom, and they're both sharing their insecurities, but they're both saying, hey, you know what, I've got your back, let's do this together. And then the scene where Nani is talking to the lesbian and just saying, you know, hey, tell me about your story, because I'm confused. And her story mirrored Nani's story. So it seemed like that conversation kind of helped Nani feel confident to really be herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that we want to get to some of our fun segments, so let's segue on into those. We've got Bob quotes, which...
Yay!
Bob always had the best quotes. He always had the one-liners that just always got you. And when he was always talking about Bob Barnard, he always had the best ones. So let's start out with the first Bob quote of the night. Carry the caboodles, sit on the horse, wipe the floor, I just Miyagi'd you.
That's
a pretty damn good one.
I love that, Miyagi.
Bob Baywatch Body Barnard, Bob Boxabot box of butt plugs, Barnard.
Oh, no.
These thumb twisters. Bob Bulging Bicep Barnard and Bob Boy Barbie Barnard.
That's
which is your favorite?
Yep.
That's the last one.
That's my favorite.
The Boy Barbie
Boy
Barnard.
Barbie. What's That's your
a
favorite?
One. A box of butt plugs probably is just like God. Just so irreverent, but it's just so
I just
good.
Love that when he would give him a nickname. That was so funny.
And it was great again to see the relationship just transform,
right?
Just how, you know, they bickered
Such
at each
surprise.
Other at the beginning. It was so great.
Yeah.
I know that we want to get into
yes!
your segment.
Okay. So for this segment, you guys, we're going to be talking about pageants. But in order to start off that segment, we have a little surprise.
Oh, my God.
So Kevin and I both have pageant crowns. Let's see if they fit over
They're gonna
the headphones.
Fit. The headphones.
Because Kevin and I are Mr. and Ms. AfterBuzz TV. We've been nominated, so we're going to proudly wear our crowns around the studio. It doesn't stay on.
It's not staying on.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Oh, well. Well, I'll lose the crown for now.
One down.
But anyway, we're going to start off this segment showing off one of my favorite scenes from the show, which is the Miss Magic Jesus opening number. So we're going to play that now.
Oh, Jesus. You fill me in every single way. Sweet, sweet Jesus inside me. I got you deep in my soul. Deep, deep, deep in my soul. Yeah! Oh, Spirit, please ride me. Please, 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 please ride me. Deep, deep, deep in my soul.
Time to break it down, y'all. Stone Cold chillin', J.C., just you and me, chillin', you see. By the Sea of Galilee, I got a notion that there's motion by the ocean is the potion I need. I think you get the gist. You the top of my list. State of bliss, you could risk. Swear to God, I need a fix. State of bliss, crucifix. Thank you, Jesus, that's my mix.
Oh my gosh, the sexual innuendos were just unending in this show.
They were just never ending is right.
Oh,
but some
gosh.
Of the crazy stuff that was probably one of the one scenes where that wasn't the best edited. There was like some bad like dubbing, but overall, like, it was still a fun song.
Right, it was fun. So anyway, for this segment, we're going to be highlighting some weird pageants. So we looked up some weird pageants that are true pageants. They actually exist. And one of them is called Miss Drumstick. And this is a beauty contest in Yellville, Arkansas, where women actually show off their legs while hiding their faces behind turkey masks.
What?
So they win the pageant based on how good their legs look. And then next we have Miss Adam. And this is actually showing how many beautiful women and young girls work in the nuclear-related establishments.
So random.
But also, you know, they're being honored for their minds.
Truth.
They're probably brilliant women,
they
so that's cool.
Are. Yeah,
that's yeah cool. And then we have Miss Plastic Surgery. This happens in China. Women and transsexuals between the age group of 17 to 62 participate in this pageant for the title of Best Artificial Body. Oh boy.
Fascinating.
And then we have Miss Pregnant. So this happened in a few countries, and it even happened in the U.S. recently in Cincinnati. And candidates who were pregnant strutted their stuff in bikinis to win over $1,000 in baby expenses.
Unreal.
Right? And then we've got a couple other fun ones like Miss Prisoner. So those are ex-cons. Miss Mama Kilo for women over 200 pounds. And Miss Condom for women in Thailand. They blow up condoms like balloons and then they're questioned on sex and STDs. So pretty entertaining, huh?
The pageant world is an interesting place. If this show wasn't enough, that alone, that's incredible.
Right? Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
Well, it was a crazy season.
Yeah.
A lot happened. It was fun as hell. I had an amazing time. If there is a season two, what are some of your predictions for that season? If we do get an order, we got our predictions.
You're After Buzz TV. Predictions.
Ooh.
Just never stops.
Oh, my.
All right, let's hear them.
Okay.
I want to hear your prediction. What is something that you would look forward to for season two?
Wow. So season one, I feel like, ended on such a dark note. I mean, I felt like there was so much entertaining and upbeat and exciting happening earlier up until then. And then it was like all of a sudden, did Patty murder two people? Oh my gosh. So I feel like she didn't. So my predictions for season two are that Christian and or Stella Rose are still alive.
I like the and or. One yes. or the other. Yes. And I could definitely see yes. one of the two of them coming back. Probably Stella Rose more than the other, because we really, that was just thrown in there.
I know.
We don't know weird. How she died, if we she got run over by the Weenie Mobile. Who the hell knows?
Maybe not.
That'll be fascinating.
Yeah, I also think this might happen. We might see Patty get to know her dad. Mm. We might see that relationship unfold. And I don't know. We're going to see what happens at regionals, but I can't see her winning.
It would be interesting. I like that you mentioned yeah. the dad thing, because played by Billy Baldwin, which was just an interesting right? little cameo.
Yeah, that was great.
But it's going to be fascinating to see, yes. I think she has to, because I think to move the season forward, should there be a season two, she would need to win regionals and then get to the, I think they were calling it Miss American Lady or something.
Miss American Lady, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they get to that point, then maybe some of the past, the Christian murder, stuff like that comes into the foray, and mm-hmm. then it becomes a lot more soap opera, crazy, what's going to happen to Patty type thing. I could see that happening.
I think they're going to get caught. I don't know.
I just don't want anything bad happening to Bob Armstrong. He's just, this guy, the guy's just, he's the best. He's the best.
He's
so
great.
If anything happens to Bob, I will be sad. But, you know, he's such a stand-up guy. I could see him, you know, taking, you know, a bullet for Patty after all that they've been through. She has saved his life twice. So wouldn't it be far-fetched?
Yeah.
Oh, God, so much good in this season. Guys, if you haven't watched it yet, for whatever reason, if you've sat through this with all these spoilers, we still recommend you watch the season. And for anybody that's been watching this episode, please comment in our section. Let us know what you thought. Again, we are AfterBuzz TV. There's a lot of great things happening at this station. So check out the other after shows. Maggie, take it away. Just, you know, this is your first average show, so sign off.
Oh, it was so great, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Again, I'm Maggie Clark, and you can find me on Instagram at Maggie Clark on camera and on Twitter at Maggie on camera.
And I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Kevin Ellis. Guys, thank you for joining us on this after show of AfterBuzz TV's Insatiable. It was an awesome season. We're so happy that you were able to sit down with us. Talk good about this series, because we want to see a second season.
Yes, please.
Tweet. Make sure that Netflix knows that you liked it. And stick around again for your other after shows on the AfterBuzz TV network. Guys, in the meantime, take care.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.